Welcome back.
We're back.
We're back. Episode one, season three.
Three, I believe.
We thought it was seven, but season
Well, it should
three.
Be seven if we'd started on time.
Yeah.
We'd have seven seasons.
We haven't done that
We took
yet.
A hiatus.
Yeah. A hiatus is very...
Wordsmith.
Yeah.
We're going to try to work Wordsmith into every
we have
episode.
To. I think we should.
So, professional communicator.
Yeah. We're really good at that.
Yeah.
We have good vocabulary, stuff like that. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yep.
Yep. Really good place right now.
That's great. Explain that. Like, why? How'd you get there?
Oh, I think... One is I'm surrounded by a bunch of people I really, really trust. And mm-hmm. so I've been able to, things I used to carry and go like, everybody's dependent upon me to do everything. Mm-hmm. I now have some people around me. I got a, like my right-hand man is Jesse and, yeah. and like, he's just like created so much margin in my life. So I work off site one day. Mm-hmm. I usually like used to be in the office, but then everybody goes like, hey, can I 30 seconds?
I have and then 5 minutes and it's not 5 minutes.
It's an hour, yeah. you know, and that makes sense. Yeah. Right. But I found that I have to work off site. And so I have this horrible thing on Mondays. I drive 90 minutes up to my cabin and sit on my porch and pray and study and write sermons.
That sucks.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Sounds
and
like
I
it.
Have to go, oh, there's another moose in the yard.
Yeah.
And now my dogs want to swim in the pond.
Dang
and,
it.
Yeah. But it's just like when I'm really, really fresh and hear from God, I just think that it just flows really, really easily. And so then teaching, you get the best of me out of teaching. When I get home, I'm not mm-hmm. stressed. Robin gets the best out of me. And when I'm walking the halls here, because I got a great team around me, I feel like I'm showing up the right way.
Which is awesome.
I hope so.
Thinking through one of the big like topics that people threw at us that they wanted us to talk through was insecurity.
Yeah,
insecurity in men, insecurity in whatever. And when you've been in a bad spot, it's like, here's blatant insecurities that we can see. I'm in the same spot. When you're in a good spot, it's a lot easier to go, my insecurities are kind of hidden, not mm-hmm. really like showing up in ways that they typically do.
Yep.
But you also work with a lot of men. And I think when we work with men, it's really easy to go, we can see people's men's insecurities.
Sure.
Mostly because they're insecurities that we have, but we like notice them in other men.
Yeah.
And so as you've worked alongside other men, other pastors, just people in your life that you like love, how do you see insecurity show up most often? I don't know if that's the right question, but how do you see insecurity show up and how do you like walk alongside men that are trying to work through those insecurities?
Yeah, that's a great, Cole, that's a great question. So I'm still learning about insecurity because it's not like that point in your life where you go like,
I'm good.
I got that.
Yeah.
But I have I kind of stumbled on some stuff that's helping me.
Yeah.
And then this is what I'm trying to pass on. So I'm pursuing a master's right now. And so I've been reading books.
Yeah. You're right. You're smart.
I'm not smart, but I'm actually reading smart people.
Yeah.
And then I act smarter than I am. But yeah. Here's what I'm finding is that when you listen to teaching or you listen to a teacher or read a book or something like that, you'll read something going, that's it. That's putting language to what I felt,
yeah.
but I didn't know how to say it. And one of the things that is really, really, really clear to me, if I could like dumb insecurity down to a phrase or something like that, is I'm disagreeing with what God says is really true about me.
Explain that more.
Okay. So God says that I'm enough. God says that I'm a man. God says that I'm a provider. God says that I'm forgiven. God says that I'm strong. God says all these kind of things. All right. And then I let other people get in my head. Culture get in my head or something like that. And they're saying, no, what God says is true about you is not. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are told, we are given since we were little boys, this is what it means to be a man. And some of them might be agreed with God and yeah. some of them might not. All right. And the ones that agree with God, we don't even think about.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a human being. Right.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh no. Because everything here, you know, is, well, I always call it, I'm going to clean it up a little bit, is a peeing contest.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's all comparison.
Yeah.
And so somebody has told you something that, hey, you're deficient in this, or you've tried something and it didn't go well, and you're telling yourself you're deficient, all right? Or I'm comparing myself to another man in any part of his life, his bank account, his body, his, you know, whatever
yeah.
every little boy compares himself to,
yeah.
and goes, compared to him, do I measure up, right? I'm trying to read my wife and what do I think she thinks about me? What's the story I make up in my head? And I usually come up with something that doesn't agree with God. And so this is what I'm really stuck on right now, is what we have to change is where we look first to go like, what is actually true about me?
Hmm.
Okay? Because what we always do is we look in our own hearts, how I feel.
Yep.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm the best in the world all the way down to I'm a piece of crap, hmm. right? I'm a man, I'm not a man. I'm... all the way to, I don't feel like I want to be married to her anymore. Or I mean, let's go way out there. I think I feel like I might be a girl,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
all the way. So if you listen to your heart first, it's all over the place because your heart has been told messages, wounded by people, hurt by people, pursued things that, whatever that is. And so we have kind of a, if our inner heart is what we're looking to first to go, how do I feel? And therefore that's what's true. Then that's just going to be broken.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless it just happens to agree with God, right? The second thing we do is we look out. Like, what's everybody else saying about me?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cole treats me kind of cool, but Micah doesn't.
Right.
Which one, all right? Or my dad told me this, but then I found a group of people that say I'm awesome. I'm going to go that way, and they'll tell me who I am.
Yep.
All right?
It's the tangible feel good or not feel good that I'm going to hold on to.
I'm looking for confirmation that I'm enough. All right? Yep. I don't feel it in my heart, or I do feel it in my heart. I'm going to look around for confirmation somewhere else, okay? Yep. And then the last thing I do is I look at God, and I say, hey, God, get on board with this. Because this is what I'm going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like I'm really stuck in Romans chapter 1 right now, which is just says that in order to get God to get on board with your plan, yep. you have to reinvent him as in your in an image that's different than what he says he is.
Yep.
And then I wonder why that God doesn't have any power.
Yep.
Right? And it's because he's not real.
Right.
So if we could reverse that and go, okay, hey, what's God say about us? True about me. Not what my dad said about me, not what my ex-wife said about me, not what the guys in the on the team laughed at me about, or not what the person who molested me, or my whatever. What does God say is true about me that nobody is allowed to say is different than that? Okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking to God first, right? And he's saying, this is what's true about me, right? And then I look out the world going, what's going on here? Like, what's God doing in the world? And then I look inside and going, okay, I know what he's already said is true about me. How do I engage in this, right?
Yeah.
So this is what God says is true about me. So I'm looking at God first. This is what's going on in my marriage or with my buddies or in my job. And they're saying all kinds of different things. Then I look inside at this. Now, how do I engage with that? And you can't touch that.
Why do you think we've messed up that pattern? Why do you think we go the opposite route of, instead of going looking up, looking out and looking, why do we go the opposite way?
Because God's a, like, I'm going to say this wrong, right? God feels like he's so far away, and I'm in the tyranny of the urgent.
Yeah.
Right? God is a still small voice, and every voice that's coming at me all day is a loudspeaker.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to pay attention to that unless I take a time out to go, all right, whoa. I got to be quiet for a while. I got to get away from all this mess for a while. You know, that's why I go in the cabin, mm-hmm. okay? I go to the cabin for a day every week, right? And there's not a lot going on up there. There's really only, there's nothing coming at me either. So I can reconnect with God and what he says is true. And then when I come back off that mountain, mm-hmm. everybody in my life gets a better version of me.
Yeah.
Because I've taken a time out, a breath, which is the point of Sabbath.
Right.
Right. If you want to get religious, right.
Yeah.
But is take a time out and just remember what's true about God and about you. And you don't have time to do that. You got babies at home.
Yeah.
Right. You got a campus or a job you're running, right? You got this, you got that, you got this, whatever that is. When are you going to, you have to intentionally carve out time to go, okay, what's really true about me?
Well, it's interesting. You see Jesus most out of everything he does go away to go be with God. And originally it's like, oh, he's just going to like connect with his father and that's what we should do, blah, blah, blah. It's like, or he's going to get away from the voices. Like how many voices were coming to him over and over and over again telling him who he was or who he wasn't?
Absolutely.
That's super.
And you read those part, he went off to a quiet place. He went off to a quiet place. And we all like, oh, he went away for an hour or so, right?
No, it's
like there's like after he fed the 5,000 and John the Baptist, his cousin's head got that's cut off, right? It was like that's stressful. Some people, I've talked to my friend James down in Mexico City. He said some scholars believe that when he went off to a desolate, quiet place for a while, it might have been a month or two.
Yeah,
like he only had 3 years to get stuff done.
Yeah,
and in the middle of that, he takes a couple months sabbatical and goes off and goes, I just need to breathe for a minute.
Yeah.
Connect with my father. What's he telling me to do? What does he say is true? And then even in his most desperate moments, he checks in with God going, okay, is there another way? Not that I'm insecure or whatever, but I'm just double checking, but I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Because he knew who he was.
So there's a lot of guys listening that are either in the like, hey, I can see my insecurity showing up blatantly over and over and over again. Or there's the guys that are like, no, I'm in a good spot. And they just, I don't have any right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, there's red flags there. So with you and your spot, like mentally where you're at right now, like I'm in a good spot. There's people around me that I trust. Like things are going well. How do you still see insecurity showing up right now?
Hmm.
Whether at work or at home or whatever.
Oh, I'll give you an example. Like 2 years ago, if you would say, hey, let's talk about succession plan when you're not the lead pastor anymore, I would have been like, what? well, do you want to get rid of me? Mm-hmm. What, you think I'm too old? You know, I'll show you. I can do this. I can do this. All right. And now when we get to thinking about like, hey, Jim, you're going to probably retire here in 5-6 years. I don't know. You know, it's, I don't think it's sooner than that, but I don't think it's 10. Yeah. Right. And it's like when people bring that up, I'm like, my identity is not this place. And so now like I got a bunch of young staff, and I'm pop. I turned 60 in 5 months, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm much older than you. Right. I'm not going to apologize that for more. I don't want to try to act 30. You know, I don't want to act, yeah. Right. I don't want to, I don't have to. There was a day when I did.
Yeah.
But now I'm coming back going, my identity, I know where my identity is. I know what my first priority is, and it's not Flatirons. It's not my job.
Yeah.
Like I like to take care of my body and stuff like that. I'm getting some new tats.
Heck yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. I think our church will be shocked.
It'll be awesome.
Because a full facial tattoo
will look good.
Do you think?
I've been watching Squid Games. There's some face tattoos on there, and I think it's a good look.
Yeah. I think that there's no point in your life where something's not going to pull that trigger going, are you enough? And the only solution to it is to go to look up, okay? All right, God, what did you say is true about me that nobody else, and even my own mistakes, cannot change that, right? And when I'm getting home going, I think I'm failing as a husband, that's not a value statement. It's a pay attention to something, because the man that you really are needs to not deliver, because that sounds like pressure, but needs to be that man. Mm-hmm. And if you are the man that God told you to be, What are you gonna do to me? You gonna insult me? You gonna hurt my feelings? You can't touch me, because who I am and what I am and what I'm capable of has already been secured, and we don't have to vote on that every day. That has been decided.
Yeah.
And so, usually when somebody's trying to question you or push your buttons to make you feel insecure, it really is. It's like, this is really about them, not you.
Yeah.
So I just try not to let it be about me anymore. I like getting old.
Yeah.
I do. I don't want to be elderly.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, you know, like aged or something like that. But I'm not afraid of moving into this next season of my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For the person listening who has somebody in their life that insecurity is like running rampant, when you're at your worst, when insecurity is just like blaring everywhere, how do you want somebody to come and talk to you about that?
Yeah. I don't want to criticize and tell me how bad I'm screwing up. I need him to remind me who I am, because I've forgotten. And that's what's really like Jesse, like my XP here, my number two guy here. I'll be like, I'm freaking out about this. What are you? He goes, hey, buddy, you're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Am I? Yeah. No, what you said there, hey, as we go into this meeting, just remember this and remember this. And goes, okay. So, because I put myself on trial and I assume everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
I just need somebody to speak into my life and go, whoa, this is settled. Dude, you're the leader. You're pop-up, you're dad, you're the pastor, all that kind of stuff. That's not for grabs, okay? Now let's look at how that's coming out. And then once my defenses are down, then I'm gonna actually really take some coaching. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
I mean, that's what you want, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a start.
That's a great start. Cool. See you next week.